Welcome to Cross Body of Work. My name is Evan.
I am Javier.
And we're back for part two, Big Sexy Kevin Nash. That's right. Get the diesel horns out right now because there's no diesel this week. It's all Kevin Nash.
He's here in spirit. He's here in my heart forever with us.
Do you prefer diesel or Kevin Nash? That's a great question.
You know what? I just don't care. Either way. Preference.
Pretty cool.
Either way. Finisher, fantastic. Both of them have it.
Yep.
Same exact moveset.
The consistency is nice.
So, I like a...
There's two. On this podcast, we cover wrestlers through five of their most important matches. Certain people get two-part episodes, Kevin Nash being one of them. So this week, we're going right from last week where we did the formation of the NWO. If you didn't listen last week, go and listen to that one. Or if you're on YouTube, watch that one. And then come back and join us as we take the NWO. We go his return to WWE and TNA. So we're covering all three different companies this week for Big Kev.
Big Kev goes everywhere, baby.
Big Kev goes where the money is. Next, let's talk about programming. A little programming note for the podcast, for the listeners. Next week, we're bringing back the Christmas special. We did this 2 years ago where we watched a bunch of Christmas-related matches from WWE and other wrestling companies. This year, we're doing it again. So we're going to watch some more Christmas matches, some Miracle on 34th Street fights. Santa's going to be involved in a couple matches. So that's going to come out on the 23rd. So you can enjoy it right around the actual Christmas holiday. We are off on the week of the 30th. We take a little break for the new year to get refreshed. Javier's going to be on a cruise.
Yes.
I will not be on a cruise. Sad.
You'll be cruising, though.
I will be cruising. I'll probably be playing a lot of video games, honestly. But that's what we'll be doing. We're going to put some throwback episodes on YouTube, but also go back and just listen to anything in our back catalog. That's the beautiful thing about this podcast. All these episodes are evergreen. You can go listen to them at any time.
Yeah.
Go and listen. They're a good time. But a Christmas special on the 23rd, no episode on the 30th. We're back with Japanuary starting in January.
My month to cook.
It is your month to cook. Very excited for that. Follow us wherever you're listening, whether it's on YouTube, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars as a Christmas gift to us. We'll appreciate that immensely. And follow us on social media at Crossbody of Work across all platforms. All right. Last time we saw Nash, he just formed the NWO with Hogan and Hall. They were and remain one of the most influential groups in the history of professional wrestling.
Yes, unfortunately.
There is definitely some downsides, but there is obviously the benefits. Like, it was a draw. It was so good to start. The Hogan heel turn was so good to start.
It's one of the five biggest draws in the history of pro wrestling.
And then it just got out of control. So we're looking at it before it gets out of control. This might be when it started to get out of control. We're at Sold Out 1997. And it's the Outsiders, so Kevin Nash and Scott Hall, defending the WCW Tag Team Championships against a favorite of the podcast in terms of their in-ring stuff, Rick and Scott Steiner, the Steiner Brothers.
Oh, love a good Steiner Brothers, brother.
You obviously have heard of Sold Out 97 before, right?
Is that the NWO pay-per-view?
This is when the NWO got their own, like, labeled pay-per-view. So babyfaces / WCW people don't get entrance music. They just get roasted over the PA, which is like the guy who's, while the Steiner's doing the entrance, is roasting him for having a dog face. Rick specifically, obviously. Like, that's what they do. All of the matches are refereed by Nick Patrick.
Of course,
the NWO referee.
Oh, that must suck, though. He's just smacking the mat for fucking 3 hours straight.
Yeah, honestly, put some flowers on Nick Patrick. They have NWO commentary because I think it's DiBiase and Bischoff, and it's bad. It's bad, but it contains some good matches, which is kind of shitty.
Really?
Yeah, because it
has on this card.
It has this match, which is not bad. Like, this match is pretty good.
Solid.
It also has a match we covered in Eddie Guerrero's Revisited series. It's Eddie Guerrero versus Six, the ladder match.
Ah.
Yeah. Where Eddie Guerrero defends the U.S. title in a ladder match against Six, X-Pac, Sean Waltman, whatever you want to call him. So that's there. The rest of the match, like, Masahiro Chono's on the card. He has a match with Jericho. That's cool.
I want to watch that.
Yeah, like, that's a draw. I mean,
watch that.
There's also Jeff Jarrett versus IRS, so there's also some stuff to skip, but
every pay-per-view needs a filler.
That's right. What did you think of this match?
I thought it was solid. I mean, it honestly kind of strikes me as like a TV main event.
That's a good. How would you differentiate a TV main event versus a pay-per-view match?
It's just kind of, it's just based on like feel. I don't really know. Like there are just times where I'm just watching something and I'm like, it just kind of feels like a Raw or a SmackDown or a Dynamite or whatever main event rather than a pay-per-view match. I don't know. It's just kind of like a feel type thing. I mean, we've been watching wrestling's pretty much our whole lives. We can kind of just like differentiate and.
This feels like the main event of Nitro versus something else.
Yeah, it's like two big name teams going at it for a match that doesn't really have any stakes and a match that...
Well, I mean, it's got the tag titles.
Hey, come on. Yeah, but I mean, listen, Goldberg beat Hogan in the main event of a WCW show.
Yeah, that's true.
Nitro. Like,
the reason you can tell it's not a WWE main event, though, is because, and this is true, these are two real tag teams, whereas WWE just has two baby faces and usually a heel faction, and
well,
they have a match.
The reason how you can tell that this isn't a WWE main event is because there's actually a finish.
That's also true. Yeah, that's actually a very good indicator. So, in the match... very confusing in my notes because normally I will write just the last name, and so obviously can't do that with the Steiners, but I can't just write Scott because Scott fucking Hall's here. I was just like, so it's like Nash Hall, that, and then Scott Steiner is Scott.
Yeah, that's what I did. I wrote everyone's, so the outsiders were their last name, so Hall and Nash, and then Scott and Rick.
Scott Steiner looks out fucking standing in this match, and so does Rick.
Rick Steiner rocking a rainbow singlet is wild considering it's Rick Steiner.
It's also the backdrop of Sold Out, where everything is in pitch black. Everything is like this cool, gritty, whatever. It's all very cool. And then there's just rainbow singlet Rick Steiner, who's just like, I'm here to throw people. Like, strong Chad Gable vibes in a way.
Yeah. You know, if he had hit that freaking, what's it called? Meteor theory? What's Chad gave? Chaos theory.
Chaos theory.
He'd hit the chaos theory on somebody, on like freaking Nash, I would have freaking lost my shit.
Would have lost it.
Would have lost it.
Early on, the Steiners are in control. The outsiders get control back. Rick gets caught for a fallaway slam by Scott Hall. Love it.
Yes.
Scott Steiner.
The story of this match is pretty much, let's try to piss off Scott.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Steiner's tagged in. Hall hits him with a version of a rock bottom.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a Uranagi. It's a rock bottom. Like, I don't know how. Yeah, that's
a rock bottom is just basically, it's just a Uranagi. It's a Uranagi, but he fucking brings him all the way back here in a theatrical way.
Nash gets tagged in, and I love this look for Nash. The jingly pants. It's just like, if you had to tell me, like obviously Diesel is Diesel, you know what the Diesel look is. You're like, Kevin Nash, I picture him with the singlet and the jingly pants. Like, that was always the way that I thought of him.
And jingle jangle with the tassels. Good old sparkly tassels.
That's right.
On some big Kev.
Some flair.
And skinny ass legs, because he never hit legs a day in his life.
He hits a huge big boot, though, to Rick that knocks him clean out of the ring.
He tries to go for a cover with his feet on the ropes, and he's in the middle of the ring, and his feet are on the ropes.
It's true. He is so far away from the ropes.
It's like so incredibly obvious to anybody. I mean, it's crooked ref Nick Patrick, but it's so obvious to anybody that his feet are on the rope because he's fucking 7 feet tall.
Let's talk about Nick Patrick for a second. He looks like such a dork.
Oh my god, he looks like. Literally any character from Revenge of the Nerds.
He looks like a recently divorced dad hitting the bar for the first time since Marlene left him. Like, he's like, all right, I got my going out hat. It's backwards. I'm going to hit the TGI Fridays and aggressively flirt with the waitress.
He looks like Steve Carell's character in Crazy Stupid Love at the beginning of the
movie. Yes, at the beginning. Before he is told how to dress.
Yeah, before he meets Ryan Gosling.
Yeah. So Scott Steiner attacks Nick Patrick at one point, but you wouldn't know that because the cameras entirely miss it.
This is not the worst of the camera shots in these episodes. In these matches,
we'll get to another one too. Nash with a short arm clothesline to Rick. He spits on Scott Steiner. Rick then gets a low blow because Nick Patrick is distracted. We get the hot tag to Hall and one to Scott Steiner. Scott Steiner actually gets the hot tag. Clotheslines for everybody.
Yes. Love it. Butterfly suplex to Hall.
So good.
Saito suplex to Nash. I was like, oh my God. Then somehow the Outsiders get back on the advantage. Scott Hall ends up hitting a razor's edge to Scott Steiner.
Well, what happened is the Steiners want to do a doomsday device, but Nash breaks it up and allows Hall to hit a razor's edge to Scott instead. But Nick Patrick gets taken out, which is great because, you know, he shouldn't be allowed out in the wild dressed like that.
Yeah. Rick then ends up pretty much doing the Steiner recliner or the whatever. Actually, is that what they call their finisher? The Steiner recliner, I know, is the camel clutch.
The Steiner recliner is the camel clutch. I don't know what they call the diving bulldog.
Anyways, I'm just going to call it the Steiner recliner anyways because it's such a great name for a finisher. He basically ends up hitting it, but without Scott lifting up Hall.
Yeah.
And some dude named Randy Anderson counts the fall.
Referee Randy Anderson, who was not allowed to work that night because it was an NWO pay-per-view. He's a WCW referee. He comes in, he counts the fall. And Eric Bischoff's like, this is a betrayal. These people are so upset. Meanwhile,
I thought this was like just a random celebrity that they decided to bring.
Like he was from like Law and Order or something?
Yeah, like I thought this dude was just like on fucking
Boston Legal.
Like, the third billed person in like Hoosiers or something. Like
Hoosiers. Okay. Before I ask, have you seen Hoosiers?
Yeah, of course I've seen Hoosiers.
Do you like Hoosiers?
Like, it's fine. I don't know. It's like
okay.
Sports.
It's fine. I have met some people who are like way too gung ho about Hoosiers.
Well, what's your favorite basketball related film?
Coach Carter.
See, mine is Blue Chips, and I think anyone who thinks it's not Blue Chips is like, what is wrong with you? It's Blue Chips.
It's Coach Carter. It's Blue Chips. It's He Got Game.
I love Just Right.
I don't think Common, I've seen Just Right.
And Queen Latifah. Great movie.
Love
that movie.
So the Outsiders have lost the tag titles. Quick pop quiz. How many times have the Outsiders won the WCW Tag Team Championships?
Let's see. NWO fuckery. You got to add a multiplier to that. seven.
Six. Oh, you were so close. So close. So the NWO, as we know, didn't last long in its current iteration. It kept growing and adding more members and ended up with a little bit of a civil war. Hogan and Nash were battling for control because Nash essentially was the second in command. Like the hierarchy was Hogan, Nash, a bunch of other people. That's pretty
Scott
much
Scott Hall had no power.
Scott Hall was just along for the Scott Hall was the cool coworker you have who has no intention of going into management.
No ambition whatsoever.
He's been working the docks for 26 years. He's like, I'm cool. They offered me manager.
The printer. He doesn't want to actually tell people what to do.
So Nash, so April 20th, 1998, during a match between Hogan and Randy Savage for Savage's recently won WCW title, Nash interfered on Savage's behalf and jackknifed Hogan, signaling the breakup into the NWO into NWO Wolfpack and NWO Hollywood. Fun fact, Hogan still regained the title because Bret Hart interfered as well. That match is a shit show.
Such a shit show.
Nash would win a world title shot at World War III, obviously being the 60-man three-ring battle royal, he won that and got a shot at Starrcade, the champion at that time, the undefeated Goldberg. So we're at Starrcade 98 against Goldberg. Goldberg is kayfabe 173-0 going into this match.
And for those who don't know the significance of that number, just wait for like 5 minutes. We'll get there.
We're going to get there. I wrote Goldberg, kayfabe, 173-0. But on the other hand, Kevin Nash, shoot, booking power. So, which of these two things will win?
Not me.
Not the fans.
The whole clip is like 20 minutes, 30-something seconds.
Yeah. Right?
8 minutes into the clip, and they haven't started wrestling.
Michael Buffer needs a word limit.
Bruce has it perfect.
Bruce is ready.
I'm ready for this. The day this episode releases is a UFC pay-per-view, and I will be there. And not like in person. I will be there watching on my TV. And I'm ready for, like, he just goes in there. He goes out for all the people here. And, you know, he like shouts out the sponsor, shouts out the crowd, does all this stuff. right? And then he goes, here's time for the main event of the evening and all that stuff. Like, he's like in and out in like three, four he's minutes.
There. Yeah.
Michael and he's got to do a way more than Michael Buffer does.
Michael Buffer, it's like reading an audiobook. And I'm like, what is going on? You're giving me so much backstory. They had the promo package before this. You don't need this.
I don't need to know this.
I will give Goldberg and more, actually, WCW credit. Goldberg's presentation is out fucking standing.
Yeah.
It's so, like, the security guards, the knocking on the door, the song, all of it is so good.
Like, this was, by the end of this match, and we will talk about the finish and stuff, my last note on this match is, you know what? I understand now.
I get it. I get it. And the crowd is hot for this. Lots of Nash fans, but everybody there, even if they are a Nash fan, is also a Goldberg fan. Because holy shit, the cheers for Goldberg are so loud. Oh my
God, he's so over. they lock up. Nash turns it into a side headlock. And Goldberg just effortlessly lifts him up and hits a back suplex.
Yes, it's really good. Nash gets some high knees in the corner, right hands. Everything Nash does is so cool still. You know, there's the high boot choke in the corner. But Goldberg pushes the foot back and uses it to, like,
take him down.
And then Nash locks in a cross arm bar. I was like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and then Goldberg locks in, like, the worst ankle lock you'll ever see.
It was so bad that I'm like, he has his leg. I didn't consider it an ankle lock because I'm just like, he has Kevin's leg.
He's trapped the leg.
He sweeped the leg.
Like, I'm not going to hold you. I feel like you give me like a month of MMA training, I could probably take him.
You could probably take Kevin?
No, I ain't taking Kevin. Kevin was a bouncer.
That's true. I was like, he will run your shit. Kevin.
Goldberg, though?
I just feel like if Goldberg gets your hands on you, you're fucked. He is still strong. And now he's dad strong. Yeah, so like,
but like, what's he going to do? Hold me?
Yeah, Tony Danza. He will hold you.
Like, you think I think this guy can punch properly? We're probably at the same punching level.
Goldberg gets a spear.
I've seen those work punches.
Nash with a low blow that the referee 100% should have seen. The referee is not distracted.
Yeah.
And that was the point
where I was like, oh, we're just doing whatever.
Yeah, he's not at a weird angle. He's not distracted. He's just low blow. Doesn't matter. Yeah. I'm in the NWO. The rules don't apply to me.
Fuck up. Sidewalk slam.
So actually, I got to point. Shivani then recognizes, because there's somebody who's going to be in the comments, it is no DQ. That's why the referee doesn't care. Which begs the question, why do you not start the match with a kick to the dick? The Shinsuke Nakamura school of thought.
No, because he didn't start the match with it. Did it after. Also, that's not a kick. That's a full on.
No, but
your shoulder deep into that motherfucker.
Yeah, Shinsuke was like, arm deep. Shinsuke was like the proctologist.
He didn't. Shinsuke was ready to give somebody a colonoscopy. So he's just a sidewalk slam. Nash has the advantage now, obviously, because he went in there. A running elbow drop for a near fall. He does his running sit for a near fall. Nash loves a near fall. Just likes to pin people after doing any move.
He does. It's weird. I think what it is Nash is very methodical in terms of his in-ring stuff, right? Like, he's very much, you know, just he's a slower paced guy. Like, he's drawing things out, whatever. So every move he hits does feel a little bigger. So he's like, I'm just going to add the near fall. And I don't know if they feel bigger because he does the near fall or since they feel bigger, he does a near fall. But there's definitely some sort of like mutual connection there.
Yeah, he hits a short arm clothesline at one point here for a near fall, and I was like, you know what? He should have done that more.
Yes, definitely. Good. It looks very good. Then Goldberg,
oh my God,
is here to fuck shit up.
Goldberg nearly killed Kevin Nash.
Was it the neck breaker?
Yes, the way he twisted that man's body, and like Kevin Nash ended like he was a fucking break dancer. Except guess what? Kevin Nash is not a break dancer.
I would love to see a spinaroonie by Kevin Nash.
For how injury prone he is as a human being, I would not like to see how Kevin Nash does one of those. He does a twisting neck breaker. He does like a half butterfly suplex slash hip toss thing. I don't know how to describe it.
I just wrote a big quick suplex by Goldberg.
It's a thrust kick where he did not connect at all.
somewhere, Bret Hart had a shiver down his spine when he saw that thrust kick.
Well, the thing was, he didn't touch Kevin Nash at all on that thrust
just
kick.
Just seeing the thrust kick.
He touched Bret Hart a little too much.
Bret Hart just felt something. He kind of like shot up. Like, what was that?
He hits a press slam for a near fall. And then he hit a drop kick?
Yeah, like a spinning drop kick.
I was like, what the fuck is this?
Do you recognize who the first person is to enter the ring?
Was that Nunzio? It honestly looked like Nunzio.
It wasn't Nunzio, but I have no fucking idea who it was. Because at first, I thought, I was like, wow, Scott Hall looks shorter. But it wasn't Scott Hall.
No, it was just some, like, short dude.
And then Bam Bam Bigelow's here.
That short dude got his shit speared, though. I'm shocked he still had his shoes on after that.
Bam Bam Bigelow comes out. Goldberg clotheslines him clean out of the ring. Scott Hall then appears. And what does Scott Hall have in his hand?
He's got a fucking cattle prod.
Yeah, he's got shock sticks, whatever you want to call it, cattle prod. He's here to electrocute a man.
He just in the corner. The camera's in the corner. Hall's right here. He comes out of nowhere while Goldberg's in the corner just resting up after taking out Bam Bam. Just,
I have a question about the selling. Is there a way to sell it other than actually getting electrocuted there? Like, Goldberg got electrocuted, right?
Listen, man. I've never been electrocuted before, but I feel like I've seen enough videos of people getting electrocuted that I could figure it out.
So do you think he was actually like, was it a shoot or was it fake?
I don't know. It's not a shoot. What the fuck?
Shoot electrocute Bill Goldberg in the main event.
I think he actually like clicked the thing because you kind of hear it.
Yeah.
But I don't think he physically touched him. He might have like turned it on. Honestly, you might have just like turned it on before touching him, so you get the
noise.
And
then let go.
Like yeah. As he let like stopped, like as he was pulling away, he like turned it on again.
I had to like actively think. I'm like, have I ever been electrocuted? And like, I've been shocked before.
Yeah, I've had like fucking thing where I touch someone and it's like, oh.
Oh, I've been shocked by like an electrical wire, like an outlet before.
Oh, did you shove a fork into an outlet?
No, but I do have a fun story. Guy that I was in middle school with. We're in like shop class and we're just.
Why do you always have the dumbass stories?
Because I was surrounded by dumbasses growing up. We are making like, we're making terrariums essentially. Like we're making like big things and whatever. And he has the wire cutters. Like he has the cutter things and he has a hot glue gun. And I see him hold one and hold the hot glue gun and look. And I can feel the wheels turning in his head and he just. Cuts the cord of the hot glue gun while it's plugged in and just immediate huge spark, smoke, like flash of light. And everyone's like, oh my God, like what happened? And I almost named him. He just looks, he goes, I wanted to see what would happen. Bro, what do you think would happen?
What did you fucking expect?
He was
you said you were
way.
In middle school?
Eighth grade, yeah.
You're too old. You're too old to be this dumb.
He was too old for a lot of things he did.
You're too old to be this dumb.
He's a father now. Anyways.
That's concerning.
Nash hits a jackknife powerbomb and wins the world title. He pins Goldberg.
Yeah, Kevin Nash broke the streak.
Now, people like to debate about the WrestleMania streak, but was Kevin Nash the right person to end Goldberg's streak?
No. Oh, do no. I know who should have ended it? No, I don't have nearly enough knowledge on WCW for that.
And this is the thing. I don't know if they've talked about it before. Like, do they have somebody in mind when they started the streak as to who would end it? Because we have seen wrestlers come in with undefeated streaks before, and they end in weird ways. Or like or eventually they meet John Cena. Like, those are also the ways.
Or Charlotte Flair.
Or Charlotte Flair. Do you think WCW had a plan of like, you know, this guy's going to go over and then we'll have someone else to beat him? Or was
I think
like,
the plan was always going to be Nash or Hogan.
Or Hogan.
Because they're just like that. I'm honestly shocked Hogan's not like more pissed that he didn't get his lick back.
Speaking of Nash and Hogan, we're going to take a break. When we get back, we have the most shithousery of all Nash and Hogan things. Back from the break, January 4th, 1999. Nash and Goldberg were set to meet in a rematch of Starrcade. But the match did not happen because Goldberg got arrested. Can you guess what Goldberg was arrested for?
Indecent exposure?
I thought it was pretty decent. No, he was arrested for stalking Miss Elizabeth.
Is it because you saw The Longest Yard? Anyways, I'm sorry?
Yeah. So that night also marked the return of Hulk Hogan after his, quote, retirement 2 months earlier. With Goldberg unable to wrestle, Nash challenged Hogan instead. So January 4th, 1998. This is our promo slash moment of the week. It's for the WCW Heavyweight Championship. It's on Nitro, and it is called The Finger Poke of Doom.
Now, for those wondering why it's called The Finger Poke of Doom, we'll tell you in about a minute.
As this clip starts, Tony Schiavone, God bless him, says, "This is what WCW is all about. And honestly, Tony, you are more right than you know." I was like, wow, you're Nostradamus.
I love Tony, but to be a part of two companies that are now on the downward trajectory is tough.
Yeah. We were talking before we started recording about the report that AEW might have lost $34 million this year. And I said, that's $31.5 million more than what Vince paid for WCW.
Yeah. It's not good.
Yeah. It's not great.
It's not what you want.
Too big too soon?
No, I don't even think that. I think it's just stupid booking decisions. They, like, fucked up so many different, like, you know, there'll be people that have these moments, like Keith Lee was a little bit of a swerve right now, is having a moment. And I really hope that they go through all the way with him and, like,
yep,
you belt that man. Put yep. the belt on that man.
The belt, not a belt.
Yes,
the belt.
Revolution, the main event of Revolution is probably going to be Sting. But the title match at Revolution should be MJF against Swerve Strickland for the AEW World Championship. And he should win the title.
He should.
And, like, you know, that's just something that they should do. They've had this happen so many times throughout the freaking entirety of this thing where they, like, get these people, like Wardlow after beating MJF.
Yes.
So hot. He wins the TNT title, gets the ball dropped on him. Like, so many people get built up to, like, these, like, things, and then they just drop the ball on them. And they only focus on, the only people who, Takeshita, like, you give him the wins over Omega, and then what the fuck is Takeshita doing right now?
But also, is it that the roster's too big? Too fast.
I think so. I also think, like, look, I fucking love Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega doesn't need to have, like, an ongoing, like, the top tier program at every moment. Like, I think for his body's sake, he shouldn't be in that situation. John Moxley is the ace of AEW. John Moxley does not need to be in, like, a perennial top storyline at all times either. Like, no. I think the Continental Classic, whatever they've got going on, was a great opportunity for them to put a spotlight on a lot of, like, different talent.
Other people.
And look who's at the top of the fucking list undefeated right now. It's John Moxley.
John Moxley. Yeah. Like,
of one side.
Now, AEW is not WCW. They're not close to WCW.
Not even remotely similar.
But there are some alarming things happening, especially because the E is very hot right now.
Yeah.
So hot right now. So, Nash and Hogan are face-to-face. Hogan pump fakes a punch and then pokes Nash with a finger and pins him clean.
Down. Oh, it's a hilarious bump. He takes, like, the most exaggerated back bump you'll ever see.
I love the bump.
It's literally Triple H. Whenever Triple H would, like, sell a punch or something from, like, The Rock or whatever the hell, or Austin or something, he would, like, do this exaggerated back bump always.
It's a back bump where you land primarily on your shoulder blades. Like,
yes.
You're just, like, fully down.
You're just
so Nash and Hogan and Scott Hall and Scott Steiner all celebrate together. Ha ha. The world title is a big funny joke. Isn't that nice? We screwed everybody. The NWO is back, and it's just these cool guys now.
So he's celebrating with Nash, Hall, Hogan, Steiner. Scott Steiner's here. Steiner's in the NWO now, guys. Goldberg. So the camera is cut to the back. Goldberg gets released from a cop car, and he's running down to the ring. He kicks the hell out of Nash and Hall.
Yeah, the spin kick butterfly, the spin kick to Steiner's out fucking standing.
Hits the weird butterfly a suplex hip toss variation thing to Hall. And then Hogan hits him twice with the weakest, worst belt shots ever seen in my life.
They're the, like, worst belt shots.
I don't say that as an exaggeration. Legitimately, I have been watching professional wrestling since I was, like, 5 years old. I have never seen worst belt shots.
And this is a Hogan theme, because you've seen the clip of his terrible chair shots that one time, right?
Yes, but that's different. Chair shots, I've seen some really bad chair shots from more than just Hulk Hogan.
Fair, but this was a bad belt shot. Set of belt shots.
It's so hard to fuck up a belt shot because you never actually hit the person.
No.
So you just fucking drag the belt across, and then they like put their hands up and they take a bump. That's it.
But not in Hogan's world. Goldberg also hits a incredibly weak spear to Hogan. His spear to Hogan is like he's putting Grandpa down for his nap.
Which is sad because he hits like a really good spear when he wins the title from Hogan.
Yes.
Like, picks Luger him up and everything.
Defending the ring from the NWO. He comes out. He's gonna support Goldberg. He's defending the ring from the NWO with him. Just kidding. He attacks Goldberg too.
Yeah, the second I saw Luger, I was like, God damn it. Yeah, Goldberg's going to put up to hit a jackknife on Hogan, and Luger hits him from behind.
Luger locks in a torture rack. Goldberg is handcuffed, has NWO spray paint on his back. Oof.
Oh, God. Can we stop with WCW now?
We absolutely can. Nash became WCW's head booker in February of 1999 and helped write some later angles.
What?
Yeah, Kevin Nash was head booker.
Kevin Nash was the booker man? I thought it was Kevin Sullivan.
There were two Kevins who were the head booker man. Yeah. He won the WCW title some more times, and then when WCW went under, he had a guaranteed contract with AOL Time Warner, so elected to wait out the remainder of his contract, which expired on December 31st, 2001. I still believe that genuinely the lack of people like Nash, Hall, Hogan really did put a huge dent in the invasion. Everyone knows that.
You could have just waited. You didn't have to do a full-on invasion. You just do a couple. Like, you bring the like smaller name. Not smaller name.
You bring in Lance Storm. Bring in Mike Awesome.
Booker T can still come in as just like a Booker T. You start teasing invasion like elements to it. Like, maybe little teases in the background. Maybe a little weird behavior from Stephanie and Shane. All this other stuff. Until finally they found out, WCW is actually
infiltrating from the inside.
From the inside. Like, Shane actually had his name on the contract the whole time. That didn't have to happen on the night of. That could have happened a year later.
But that is a great moment when he reveals that the name on the contract does say McMahon. Anyways, the original NWO, Hall, Nash, Hogan, returned to WWF at No Way Out February 17th, 2002. In the course of the evening, they did an interview where they reformed. They gave beer to Stone Cold, which he refused. They traded insults with The Rock. Then they helped Jericho retain his undisputed title against Austin. At WrestleMania 18, Nash continuously interfered in the match between Hall and Austin, and then they turned on Hogan after he was a babyface with The Rock in what was a very good WrestleMania moment.
Yes. 5-star match.
In March, though, Nash suffered a bicep injury that put him out of action for several weeks, and then almost immediately upon returning, had a quad tear.
Like, here's the thing about Nash, right? The cat has opinions on Kevin Nash. No, here's the thing about Nash, right? I don't understand how he gets so injury prone. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. He doesn't have a moveset where it's like, you know, I could see where it would lend to, like, him getting hurt. Like, Hogan having back problems makes sense. Guy hit so many leg drops throughout his career. That puts so much pressure down your spine because it just compresses and all this other stuff. Like, the jackknife. I don't know, man. I feel like power bombs, especially because he's not dropping. It's not like a Batista bomb or anything like that. Like, he just kind of picks him up, drops him.
It's a weird time.
Is he not breaking his core? Is that the issue here?
Just some people are just more injury prone than others, and like, that's just the way it goes, like, you know.
Yeah,
especially big guys, right? Big guys, like, their bodies are just built a little different, and Kevin Nash, as we talked about, is a 6'10" big guy,
big boy,
so he's just gonna have like a different build than everybody else. After his injury, he returned as a face in April of 2003. Shawn Michaels and Triple H were feuding with one another, and they were like, Kevin's my friend. No, he's my friend. And
Nash was doing this is hilarious, by the way.
Nash was told, like, hey, you have to be friends with one of, like, essentially, we're divorcing. Who do you want to live with, mom or dad? And Nash would not make the decision. So Triple H made the decision for him and hit him with a low blow.
Of course.
Classic Hunter. So let's skip forward to a couple months from now. Hell in a Cell, It's at Bad Blood 2003, and it is Triple H versus Kevin Nash for the World Heavyweight Championship.
I like to think that Taylor Swift named the song after some of these pay-per-views.
After this one in particular.
Yes, this exact match inspired a song with Kendrick Lamar.
Yes, Kendrick Lamar was like, oh man, I love when Mick Foley's involved. Let me get on the verse.
Yeah, let me spit some knowledge for these
Did you
kids.
Hear why Mick Foley is the referee here?
No.
All the other referees were afraid because of the Hell in a Cell. Like, they were like, it's too personal between Nash and Triple H. I don't want to get in there. So they had to go find someone who would be comfortable in the environment. And they
just you think
Mick
this
Foley.
Is the most personal Hell in a Cell match to this point? It's not even his most. It's like his third.
Oh, what'd you think of the match?
I actually thought it was solid.
I think it's my recommendation match. This week.
I also think it's my recommendation for the week.
Yeah.
I thought this was a decently good match. Like, especially for like this era of Triple H, who, look, man, you know my feelings on Triple H. Specifically this time period with Triple H. I fucking hate the man. But
just he was too much. He was everywhere.
You know, he's hurt, he's everywhere, he's overexposed. He was never the same worker after the quad tear. And at this point, he's definitely not that worker. He's still trying to figure it out in the ring. He was constantly like the groin pull fucked him up. He had so many injuries stockpiled during that period, but he wouldn't drop, like he wouldn't go get better because his position was his position, whatever. Anyways, this match, I feel, was just the perfect mix where he didn't really have to do like a workhorse job or anything.
No,
like,
yeah.
He could just go out there and brawl, and they had the cage element. They had the no DQ element. Foley actually, in my opinion, added a lot to this match just being there because it was able to show a character side to Triple H that I thought added a different element to it, because it wasn't just him being pissed off with Kevin Nash. It was him being pissed off with Mick Foley. So I felt like it caused like an extra level of brutality with him, where, like, you know, from a match that by all means, I went into this having no expectations. I'd never seen this match before.
No.
I was impressed. I was like, oh, shit. Reign of Terror Triple H actually had a good match.
Reign of Terror Triple H having a good match is... It happens more frequently than we like to admit. It just always has the wrong ending. Yeah. That was really it. Like, the matches...
Well, not this one.
Well, that's true. Because of the frequency with which he would just win, and we're all like, motherfuck, again? We start to think, like, the whole time was bad. His in-ring stuff wasn't that bad. He truly needed to grow facial hair. He needed...
Yeah.
Babyface
Some
Triple
of those
H.
Orton matches weren't it, I just gotta say.
No, and that's fair. Like, it all depends on the dance partner, and him and Kev were pretty good together.
Yeah, this was good. I mean, you could tell these are just two guys who know each other so well that, you know, they could do this with their eyes closed.
It's always really fun when people who are friends put on matches together, because there's just some weird level of, like, synergy that happens.
They also trust each other completely.
That's it.
And right? In an environment like this, where this match, like, I mean, there's fucking toolboxes involved and shit, you know? Like,
can we talk about the toolboxes?
Trust your opponent. Yeah, go right ahead.
Let's talk about the toolboxes. Why does Triple H love toolboxes so much?
Because he's a tool.
That is a very funny answer. And I know that he has the sledgehammer thing too. That's a very funny answer. But I remember, like, when he busted out against Batista, right? And, like, that whole thing happens with the removal of the nose ring. I was like, oh my God, that's brutal. Watching this match, and he goes and hits a toolbox under the ring. And I was like, this is a suspicious amount of times you use a toolbox. Like, are you a Home Improvement fan?
The funniest thing was when he pulls out the normal-sized hammer. Just a regular carpenter hammer. Like, just the one that I have, that same hammer probably over there.
Home Depot, $8.
Yeah. Hell yeah. And he's just, when he pulls it out, I'm just like, oh, that's not right.
It's the wrong size hammer. It's the
wrong hammer. And well, that's like, when I realized, like, I'm so conditioned to this man having a sledgehammer that him with a normal hammer is like, whoa, 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 hey, buddy.
It's like buying mini M&Ms. I'm like, that's the small version of the thing you like.
Buying the unwrapped Starburst, the, like, ones you could just open the bag immediately, Starburst.
Hate that. Very weird. Because it gets It gets warm even a little. You just have one lump of Starburst.
Well, you don't have to worry about that. You're in Canada.
It's true. It's never warm here. He takes the hammer to the knee of Kevin Nash. Earlier, there was some other good work. I want to talk about one move in particular that Kevin Nash does, which is when somebody's in the corner and he does the frame-up elbow.
Oh, yeah.
Again, other people, it wouldn't be cool. If I do it, I look like a fucking dork. Yeah. But Kevin Nash, where he just kind of frames their face and then hits the back elbow, so good.
Yeah, he's the coolest man in wrestling, Evan. We've talked about this.
It's not. Have you heard his podcast?
No, I've heard clips. Like
I've listened to clips too. And again, I just listen to clips. I'm like, God, he is cool. I hate that.
I just want to talk to him.
Sometimes people are wrestlers and they seem cool, and then like you see them out of character and they're kind of dorky. And like, oh, okay, yeah. that's great. Like I like that for me. And then he just seems cool at all times. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
It's also been like 30 years that he's been cool in the public eye, and I'm like, oh, that's really good. Good for you.
It's like, I don't know who's cool. Like Trick Williams. I love Trick Very Williams. Very cool. Coolest yes. fucking guy. I just want to talk to Trick Williams.
Yes.
I just feel like me and Trick would get along.
I want to hang out with Ilya Dragunov. He seems intense, but he seems like
can you imagine like playing pool or something against him? Like something completely like innocuous. Like pool. But his
NXT did NXT did a, like, what's your perfect album thing? He picked Meteora by Linkin Park. Excellent choice. That's the best choice, though.
Like, it's either that or, like, a fucking Metallica album is exactly what I would expect him to say.
Are you ready for this? Vic Joseph, his pick? Emotion by Carly Rae Jepsen. Outstanding.
Wait, Vic Joseph, is he Canadian?
I don't think so. I feel like I would have claimed
Vic
him already.
Vic Joseph is Canadian. 100%. That makes sense.
I don't think so. I think he's from Ohio. Yeah, he's from Cleveland.
Oh, wow. Then that's a little weird. How close is Cleveland, Ohio to Canada? Because no one has ever spoken. The only people that ever speak to me about like with full reverence over Carly Rae Jepsen are literally when I went to Canada those two times, gushing. It was gushing. Everyone gushing. Carly Rae Jepsen.
She's doing some good stuff. Anyways, this match gets really bloody really fast. Triple H tries to use a screwdriver at one point, and he does. He drives it into Nash's forehead. Ooh.
Now, Triple H like tries getting in Foley's face, and Foley pushes his ass back.
Yeah.
Like, fuck off. Like Hebner did that one time.
Which is like the most you've ever loved Hebner.
Triple H grabs Barbie, starts rocking Nash with it. And then Nash takes Barbie, puts it in the corner, and just drops Triple H face first onto that fucker.
It's really
Triple
good. H lead. Nash with some running clothes in the corner, then hits Snake Eyes onto Barbie again. Nash gets absolutely clocked with a wood crate by Triple H from ringside. It is shattered. And that thing costs like $80 at HomeSense.
Whoa. What?
That's got it. Like, have you seen the price of some of these home decoration things in like Target and shit? They're like for a crate that was used to deliver milk in the fucking 40s. It's like $80.
Are you out of your? My ottoman was $80 at Target.
That's what I'm saying. Nah. It's one of those like decorative things I thought would be cheaper. It's like cheese. Like as a kid, I thought cheese was not like a luxury item, and then you become an adult and you're like, why is cheese so expensive? No wonder my mom was so pissed I didn't wrap it properly.
I have a good Parmesan. Good chunk of. I have a good piece of Parmesan in the fridge right now. I'm proud of myself.
Proud of yourself for the Parmesan?
I'm proud of myself that I own it. Because I didn't just like cop out and buy shredded Parmesan already.
Oh, okay.
It's not a block of that motherfucker.
I was like, what? You like foraged for it? Like, why are you proud of it?
No, I made it myself. I bought it at Costco.
Foley takes the sledgehammer from Hunter after he gets advantage, obviously, with that huge crate shot.
Yes.
Triple H with steel steps instead, and he clocks Foley. A drop toe hold by Nash makes Hunter go face first into the steps for a two count.
So funny.
Yeah. It's very comical the way he drops. Triple H with a chair shot, headshot to Nash, and one to Foley, who I think is shoot busted open by it.
Yes. He had to because he came up bloody.
And it was way too fast for him to have been able to blade.
Yeah. Triple H hits a low blow to Foley is pissed. He whips out Sako.
He keeps that thing on him.
He keeps that motherfucking thing on him. He puts on the mandible claw on Triple H. Triple H gets out of it by low blowing Foley.
Yeah.
And then Nash hits Triple H with and accidentally like clocks. Or so he grabs the steps. He hits Triple H with it, but he accidentally hits Foley with it. So when he goes for a pin, Foley's out. So
Nash gets the visual pin, as we've talked about before on the spot. Foley gets bumped off the apron by Nash after Triple H runs into him. A slingshot by Nash to Triple H into the barbed wire and a jackknife, a big one. Triple H kicks out of two. This is what people hate.
The Lord. I was like, this might be like everyone talks about the Undertaker near fall from the end of an era match. This might be like to me, I was like, oh shit, did Kevin Nash win the fucking World Heavyweight title?
Did I forget that? It suckers you in, definitely. And I can only imagine if you don't, like, if you're live.
After all the buildup, like all the shit that Triple H has had happen to him, he's bleeding like a stuck pig, all this other stuff. He goes into the corner face first onto Barbie and then gets hit with one of the most devastating finishers in the history of pro wrestling, which is the jackknife powerbomb. And
Triple H kicks out at two.
Kicks out. I was shocked.
Trips with a sledgehammer shot, one pedigree, retains the title. That's the thing people hated about the Reign of Terror. This is the recommendation this week. Go watch it. FullPressWrestling.com.
Yeah.
It's really good. Yeah. The only other notable thing in terms of the WWF run is that Nash, lost a hair versus hair match at one point because he was going to go film the Punisher movie as his character, the Russian.
Which he was great in.
He was great in. Do you remember who he lost the hair versus hair match to?
What year was that happen?
August 2003.
Was it Sean?
No, it was Jericho. Oh, so God, wrong long haired.
That's Jericho. Yeah. Fuck.
Nash's last match in WWE was at SummerSlam in an Elimination Chamber match. I forgot that he was in this. It was Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Goldberg, Jericho, Orton, and Nash. He was the first to be eliminated after Jericho pinned him following a sweet chin music from Michaels.
Yes, we covered that match, I'm pretty sure.
We have seen that match before. We are going to take a break. When we get back, Nash makes another move, this time to TNA. Back from the break, Nash debuted in TNA alongside the returning Scott Hall, of course, package deal. On November 7th, 2004, at the inaugural monthly TNA pay-per-view Victory Road, they helped Jeff Jarrett retain his title in a ladder match against Jeff Hardy. He would kind of be on and off doing some stuff with Hall. He also joined a group called Paparazzi Productions, which I'd never heard of.
I don't remember that.
It's with Alex Shelley?
I really don't remember that then.
He was the coach, essentially, of Alex Shelley and Paparazzi Productions. It was Alex Shelley... Look, it was Johnny Devine, and it was the Austin Star, which is Austin Aries.
Anything before Motor City Machine Guns, I do not remember for Alex Shelley.
Is a very weird time. There was this thing where he was like a mentor to Samoa Joe as Samoa Joe won the TNA World Heavyweight title.
Yeah, well, guess what? This was also after Samoa Joe lit his ass on fire when Scott Hall no-showed.
Yes, that's true. He did absolutely rail against... I thought you meant he literally lit him on fire. No, he railed against Scott Hall and Kevin Nash when Scott Hall no-showed a show. And that got turned into a storyline because that's what always happens in wrestling. If Matt Hardy and Edge can work together, anybody can do anything in wrestling.
Yeah. Not CM Punk in AEW.
That's true. On October 23rd, Kevin Nash joined Sting, Booker T, Scott Steiner, Kurt Angle to create the Main Event Mafia. This is after he cost Samoa Joe the TNA World title at Bound for Glory 4 against Sting. And then there was a big blow-off match between Samoa Joe and Kevin Nash at Turning Point 2008.
I want to again reiterate, I feel like I've said this in previous episodes where a Main Event Mafia member was in. If you have the time, which I know is precious, TNA uploaded the entire history of the Main Event Mafia, like, on their YouTube. Just go watch, like, the first half hour of it. It's the funniest shit ever. This group was such a joke at the beginning. But it was like... Here's the thing, is when you're watching it live, like, because I was watching TNA at this time. When you're watching it live, you're like... Oh my God, like this is crazy. It's these guys and they're together. Sting joined this group. It's like, what the fuck? And it's like all this other shit. And you're like in the moment, it's super serious. I went back and watched the first like half hour of that. I was like, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. It's hilarious. It's so poorly acted.
Like, I don't know how to describe it. It's cool. It's like if it's what
Kevin Nash is the only good one.
What uncool people think cool people act like.
Except Kevin Nash is actually cool, so he's fine.
But that's the thing is he genuinely lends credence to it. And then like Scott Steiner's tough. Kurt Angle's obviously like
no, they're Scott's just unhinged. That's what he's doing. True.
They're all also like respected in the business, so like that helps them. Like it gives them credence.
Well, yeah,
but then like you said, angle. If you watch it, you're like, what the fuck is this? Before the match, Joe gets interviewed backstage and brings up a very good point about Kevin Nash that I want to ask you about. Which is that Kev has always stood next to greatness. As a mentor, as a bodyguard, he points out Shawn. He doesn't call names, but like Shawn Michaels, the NWO, like Kevin Nash is always the guy beside the guy.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I think he's absolutely right. I mean, Kevin Nash is the lowest drawing WWF champion of all time, which I understand circumstances play a big part of that, but
very much so.
Look, it's like, I don't think there really is an apt comparison for in sort of like modern times, really, that I can think of.
There really is not.
Because a lot of the time, that secondary guy ends up eventually becoming kind of like the guy.
Yeah. And I mean, like Wardlow might not ever become the guy, but Sid, like, there's a lot of guys who were bodyguards. Like, Batista was a bodyguard, right? Roman Reigns was, in a way, like, the heavy.
And these guys became, like,
guys.
Roman's a guy. Like Batista was a top guy.
There is an argument, though, that Kevin Nash did become a guy.
But it wasn't at the same level. I think he was more so in that, like, one of the main eventers. He wasn't the main eventer.
Yeah, and there are other guys who have had that same role who have not been as successful. So, I think Samoa Joe brings up some valid points, but I think it is kind of discounting just how good consistently Kevin Nash was.
I just think that his point was more so that he was one of the guys. He was never the guy. And
there can only be a couple of the guys.
Yeah, and Kevin Nash was not fucking one of them, let me tell you.
But there's a handful through time and space.
I don't know. It's more so the fact that when you think about Kevin Nash, a lot of his success, he gave himself. And I just feel like that's the thing that really does color it.
Yeah.
A lot of it is stuff that he gave himself.
It does color
a lot
it.
Of, I don't know, man. It's just one of those things where, how much of it did he earn versus how much of it was the fact that, he's just a cool dude who was friends with people in high places.
Before we talk about a decent Samoa Joe Kevin Nash match, I have a little game for you. This person a guy or the guy? Ready?
Go ahead.
John Cena.
Come on. The guy.
I'm throwing a couple out there, right? Stone Cold.
The guy.
Triple H.
I would have to say, unfortunately, for the year 2003, he was the guy.
The guy. Edge.
No.
A guy.
No. Because it was John Cena's time.
Yeah. Ric Flair.
Yeah, absolutely. In the
80s. Obviously. Sting.
I think in little spurts, yes.
Okay.
Because here's the thing, you could be the guy and only be the guy for a short while. It doesn't have to be a Hogan, Austin, Cena run. You know?
How about Kurt?
In TNA, yeah.
Yeah. How about Undertaker?
No. I'm gonna say no.
There's no problem being a guy. Because at any point being part of that top echelon is still a minuscule number of people. But the guys, there's very few.
Yeah. You named all-timers, literally some of the greatest professional
Some of our favorite, Kurt Angle, TNA, the guy.
But he still was the guy.
But in WWE, no.
No, he was and that's okay.
He's my favorite wrestler of all time.
Johnson is mine, and he was the guy, so I can't say shit.
That means you're a basic bitch, and you like pumpkin spice lattes. All right.
I don't pumpkin spice lattes.
Joe having incredible standing jabs and Nash just missing with haymakers to start this match is so great.
Oh, it's incredible. I love the beginning part. The first, two, 3 minutes, pretty much, honestly, the first exchange of this match is great.
Yeah.
And then Kevin Nash gets some wire clippers, and I'm like, what is happening right now?
Yeah, he takes the turnbuckle pad off in the most delicate way possible. Honestly, I appreciate him. I'm sure the ring crew does too.
He's like, he's doing it as if he's like disarming a bomb.
It's very, very difficult. Nash gets a chair. He swings and Joe ducks. Nash hits a ring post instead, reverberates into his hand. Zah, it hurts.
And Hanley Ramirez taught me that that could break it.
That can break it. That's a deep cut. Well done.
He was on the Red Sox when it happened.
I know, but I haven't thought of the name Hanley Ramirez in forever.
He's also Dominican, which I am.
I thought you were about to lapse into Doug Jeudy for a second. Which I am, girl. Anyways. Nash working lower back with Joe.
Captain Holt.
Yes, RIP to Captain Holt, too. Fuck, that was so sad. Joe with a running boot and senton for a two count. Middle rope dropkick by Joe for a two. Then Nash with a little poke to the eye, heads to ringside, and absolutely fucking clocks Joe as he goes for a suicide dive with a chair.
Fucking just rocks his shit. That was so funny.
I just absolutely tattoos him. So I had to check. I'm like, is this a no disqualification match? And I don't
know. No, because they were like the referees giving him leeway.
It's a lot of leeway.
I think it's just main event mafia status, baby. Anyways, Joe. So Nash hits a big boot. It's a good looking big boot. Jackknife, Joe kicks out.
Great. Joe got a kick out of the jackknife. Outstanding. Great for him.
Nash tosses Joe headfirst into the exposed turnbuckle, and then he just kind of repeatedly slams his head into the turnbuckle.
Joe's bleeding. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Nash goes straps down for the second jackknife, so you know it's more powerful. Joe kicks out again.
I was like, oh shit.
It's fantastic. Joe then gets like a sneaky armbar.
Yeah, a little sneaky sneak some. Nash gets out of it with like ground and pound or some shit. And then somehow the ref goes down. How does the ref get down?
So Nash escapes. As he does, he pushes Joe, and Joe backs into Rudy Charles and knocks him down. That allows Nash to hit a huge low blow and a pin with his feet on the ropes as he drags Rudy over. He picks Rudy Charles up like he weighs absolutely nothing and just moves him over to count the pin.
Compared to 7 foot man.
1, 2, 3. Main event mafia wins. Too bad Samoa Joe. There's a heel faction that needs more heat.
God.
Let's talk about our last match. Kevin Nash won the Legends Championship from AJ Styles. His first title
Don't
in TNA.
Ask me to explain, please.
I like the idea of a Legends Championship. It's kind of like the senior PGA Tour. It just keeps these old guys occupied.
It's like, here's the thing, though. It's like they were throwing people at that just had no business still being in the wrestling industry.
Well, here's my thing for you. So this match is at Hard Justice 2009, and it's Mick Foley defending the TNA Legends title against Kevin Nash, who Nash lost the title that he won from AJ Styles to Mick Foley 3 days after he won it.
Yeah, and I would have loved that match 10 years earlier.
You're going to lose your shit when I tell you this fact.
God.
Mick Foley in this match is younger than Bobby Lashley is today.
Yeah, I'm not going to lose my mind because I actually kind of believe that. Bobby Lashley is like 47, 48?
He's 45.
Oh.
Isn't that absurd to think of, though, that Mick Foley, in our mind at this point, is like, it's Mick Foley. Like, he's an old guy. You know, he's been around forever.
He's just beaten down. Like,
yeah.
But, you got to think, this is only 4 years removed from that match. Bobby
Lashley's 47. It's my
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought he was older. Well, he just fucking, listen, man, black dog crack, and when you take care of yourself the way he does.
Also, in this match, Mick Foley is only 2 years older than Asuka is currently.
Asuka's 45?
42. Mick Foley's 44 in this match.
Oh, during this match. Okay, sorry. Yeah. For some reason, I thought we were still talking about Bobby Lashley.
He's 2 years older than both Asuka and Finn Balor.
Let's see, he's 44, so that's Sheamus. Isn't Sheamus 44?
Yeah. All these guys that, like, God, way that we've been able to sustain.
Well, here's the thing is, like, honestly, those 14 years of scientific advancement really do help.
And also not having Hell in a Cell match.
Not having Hell in a Cell, not taking just the craziest bumps you've ever seen, and quite frankly, taking care of yourself a little bit more.
There is a spot in this match. It's the main crux of this match that scared me when I saw it for Mick Foley's well-being.
Did it involve Kevin Nash laying down on his back ringside?
It sure does. So let's get to that spot. Foley with some right hands, Nash in the corner. Like the beginning of the match, really not a lot happening.
Nash tosses Foley into guardrails, and that's when I started clenching a little bit.
Yeah, the ref is very chill. It's not an ODQ match, but like whatever. Like Foley hits chair shots. Nobody cares. Nash gets run to the guardrail. We get another chair shot by Foley. And then Foley goes for the cactus elbow. When he does, Nash gets a chair up onto Foley, like as he's diving to him. And holy shit, the chair leg goes into Foley's eye?
Yeah.
It looks like Mick Foley is missing an eye.
Yeah, there's so much fucking blood.
Which, if Mick Foley loses an eye, he's just MCK Foley. And that's a lot to process. That was good.
The fact, like, I know you probably went on that little tangent just so you could get to that line.
I didn't even have written down. That's off the dome, baby.
That's talent right there, ladies and gentlemen.
I was so afraid because when Mick, like, when he comes up, his face is so bloody immediately that I'm like, where's his eye?
Yeah. Well, you know he has both his eyes, so he's fine.
Yes, that's the thing is we in hindsight and you know historic, we know that that's not the case, but I still was like, what the fuck happened?
I know his jaw's fucked. Foley's eyes completely just done. Nash is taking advantage. He's punching. He's doing his work. Punches onto it. He's doing.
And what happens is that Foley's blood hits the camera lens.
Yeah,
it looks like you're dying in Call of Duty. It's just it's red on the outside of the camera.
Hit marker.
Yeah, down. I'm cracked.
Foley fights back with strikes because honestly, at this point, that's probably all he can do is just punch.
Also, the referee's like, do you want the match to end? And Foley's like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good, bruv. I survived telling us so.
At one point, Foley is on the ground after knocking down Nash and he rocks back and forth and pulls his own hair out. I'm like, are you reverting to mankind?
I can't do the oinks. Nash, I just stopped myself before I even attempted to.
Don't even try. Yeah.
Nash gets busted open here somehow. Yeah. I don't even. It's probably the punches. Foley is literally just punching.
Yes.
Nash pulls the ref between him and Foley when Foley goes for a running knee in the corner. Foley then just we get to the finish. Foley grabs Barbie.
Yeah, Barbie's there.
And then some woman comes down. I had no idea who this was.
Oh, well, that's alarming to me because I was going to ask you who she was.
No idea who that was.
Her name is Tracy. I assume it's Tracy Brooks.
I don't know who that is. Anyways. Tracy
Brooks was a valet. She managed Robert Roode for a little bit. And then was.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, yeah, she won a battle royal. With this. I believe, yeah, she won a battle royal to be a spot, have a spot in the main event Mafia. So there you go.
Okay. Tracy Brooks. Nice job, Tracy. Anyways, so she comes down. She distracts Foley. Nash boots Foley in the face twice. Then hits a move, which we don't see, because the second Tracy gets knocked off the apron, the camera goes to Tracy while Kevin Nash is hitting the move and then cuts back to Kevin Nash. You hear this. You hear a slam noise.
You hear a bump.
You hear a bump happen, but you don't see the bump happening in the background. And just it cuts back to Nash already doing the pin. 1, 2, 3. Kevin Nash wins the match.
Kevin Nash wins the TNA Legends Championship.
LOL TNA.
Good for him. Kevin Nash's career after that, he would get the band back together in TNA with Sean Waltman and Scott Hall and friends. Returned to WWE in 2011. He was in the Rumble as Diesel.
LOL. I thought he was dead.
He would have that. He would attack CM Punk after winning a title and not have a match. He would have a match with Triple H instead. Just fine.
Did you ever... You heard the story, right, about what happened there?
LOL, I thought he... Yeah.
No.
Tell the story, yeah.
Yeah, so I think Nash told this on his podcast relatively recently, where... or at least it was brought up again recently, where he said that he was supposed to have a match with Punk. And I know that he wasn't medically disqualified because of his knee, but what Triple H told him... Before Vince told him the knee part was, I want to fucking beat him. He's running his mouth. I want to fucking beat him.
Yeah.
And so he did. So that's why Triple H fucking beats CM Punk when he's on the hottest run of his career.
It's not good.
It's not what you want to hear.
It's but not a good what? Time. I learned that he was the first choice for the role of Sabretooth in X-Men, apparently.
Oh, I love that. But yeah, to leave Schreiber, didn't it?
No. Like original. Like Tyler Mane is the actor who played Sabretooth in like the original X-Men.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like the, because by this point, we're probably talking X-Men Wolverine origins.
Yeah. No, if you look at Kevin Nash's championships and accomplishments, this man has been all everywhere. Obviously, also a two-time Hall of Famer, class of 2015 as himself, class of 2020 as a member of the NWO. So, double Hall of Famer.
Listen, as the DJ Khaled song goes, I'm so paid.
He has won PWI Match of the Year before. For the Shawn Michaels match at WrestleMania 11.
That's absolutely fucking ridiculous.
He was the most improved wrestler
There's
of 1994.
No shot. That 95, would that have been?
95
was such a bad year for professional wrestling that match won it. A bad match. It's just fine.
He was number one in the PWI 500 that year.
And that's fine because he's holding the biggest, most important belt in wrestling at that point. It's a down year, but it's still the biggest, most important belt in wrestling, and he held it for like pretty much the entire year. But what the fuck are we doing here, guys?
Yeah, that's fair. So what did you think going back and diving into the career of Kevin Nash over these 2 weeks?
Look, man, coolest guy. Like, he just is. He's got an aura to him that is just cool. As a wrestler, like, you know, big man. Like, I didn't expect a 7-foot workhorse. You
gonna throw in there, talented big man.
Yes. Like, but a lot of like his offense is big man offense. Yeah. And the jackknife powerbomb is one of my favorite like moves in the history of pro wrestling. When I had, I think it's 2K16, the one with Austin on the cover. My fucking finisher, my signature move was the jackknife powerbomb because I love the jackknife powerbomb.
It's a good one.
It's great. You just pick him up, you drop him. He's 7 feet tall. It's a crazy bump every single time. It's good. And, you know, he's got a solid work, like move set, all his other stuff. His work rate was good. He had some good matches throughout his career. And what I appreciate is he's really giving to his opponents when the story calls for it. Like the match against Shawn, he gave Shawn so much.
Yep.
The matches against Brett, he gave Brett so much. Like Triple H, he let Triple H do fucking anything to him. You know,
it's just like if you take out that WCW part of his career where he gave the company the best angle they ever had.
And then, yeah.
And then, yeah.
And then they overbooked it to fuck.
I think it's wild that he's somebody who has both best gimmick and worst gimmick in his career from the Wrestling Observer Newsletter.
What was the worst?
Oz. But also has like most improved in 94 and most overrated. Like he's seen the multitudes. Kevin Nash has seen it all. And I like Kevin Nash. Really cool guy.
I like
guy.
Kevin Nash. Listen, part of like I understand what I'm saying is going to come off as like, oh, he thinks Kevin Nash is just fine or blah, blah, blah. Like, I really like Kevin Nash. I think Kevin Nash is a Hall of Fame talent. I think he, you know, for the most popular time in the history of professional wrestling, he was one of the main figures. Yeah. And that's a fact.
That's a fact.
And I think that Kevin Nash is awesome.
Yeah.
I don't want to discredit Kevin Nash in any way, shape, or form. There's no but at the end of that.
Yeah. I got more Diesel appreciation from this.
Yes.
Shout out Diesel. It was just a bad time for the business. 95 was a rough time.
Shout out to Big Diesel. Sexy, too.
Diesel was just holding the bag. All right. Next week, Christmas special. But you already knew that. Like I said, go and rate the podcast 5 stars as our own little Christmas gift. We appreciate it so much. Thank you for all the love. We've been on a bunch of charts this week. Canada. We were in Taiwan, Philippines, Australia. Anyone listening from LA?
Worldwide.
Just, you know, DM us. Hit us up on social media at Crossbody of Work on Instagram, on Twitter. Hit us up in the comments of these videos on YouTube. Subscribe to the YouTube. Do all that. Follow Javier wherever he tells you right now.
On the Twitter machine at JMLO Sports. My resolution for the new year is to make the sign. I promise.
Make the sign. Follow me on Twitter at it's Evan Gomes, ITSEVANGOMES. FullPressShop.com. Cop the merch. Support the boys. FullPressWrestling.com for the links to all these week's matches. The recommendation, of course, the Hell in a Cell match.
Yeah.
It's Agreed. Really good. Honestly, go watch the Steiner match too. It's not bad. Plus, you get to see some Steiner action. It's nice.
Before Scott gets too bloated.
Yes. So we're back next week for the holiday episode, but it's time for everyone's favorite part of the podcast. Javier, any final words for the people?
This week on Life Advice with Javier is a doozy.
It's a doozy.
Guys, we got our first hater.
Oh, yes.
We got our first hater. We're not going to, I'm not going to shout them out because honestly, don't remember the name.
That's fair.
It was on a YouTube episode. I'm not going to say which one. And I don't fully remember what they were talking about other than, you know, called out Evan's bad hairline, which, you know what? We acknowledge.
What am I going to do about it?
Accept. What could he do about it?
What am I, a chia pet?
What,
grow
is he
more hair?
Go to Turkey? You think he's going to get the hair transplant for Turkey? No, my man looks great. He's married. He's happy.
I've had this hairline for my whole life. I've had a five head my whole life. I don't care. That's fine.
He's married. He's happy and he's amazing.
Yeah, just living.
He's living life. Anyways, listen, the whole point of this is to say this will be the only time that I talk about the hater because it's the first one and it's great. And I feel like, you know, for all the good that we see,
we've had so many cool people reach out, say they love the back catalog, that they've listened all weekend, that, you know, shout out to King Chad, who's been a longtime listener. Shout out to Crispy Crisp, who's been in the comments recently. Like all these people, like if you like, we want to engage with people who listen and have a great time. And honestly, if you don't like an episode, that's fine. That's okay. Yeah.
We're not telling you to not comment hater stuff. Honestly, I prefer it. I am a
Javier thrives off the haters.
Biggest hater in the world. My motto in life is: when they go low, you go fucking lower. Not even lower. You go lowest.
You go under.
Yes, you go so low, you're burning up because you're at the Earth's core. Anyway,
Beto Slim with how low you get.
Hell yeah. Anyways, what I'm trying to say here is like it's all in good fun. All this stuff, like it was I thought a dumb comment because I don't really think the person really understood what the fuck the episode was about. Anyways, again, it's the only time we're going to acknowledge it. But more than anything, just I think this is the best way for those out there who struggle with seeing negative comments on the internet. You just kind of like read it and then you laugh to yourself and then you don't respond. We're responding this one time and that's it. So anyone listening to this right now, do not get any ideas. I am a hater, but I am not good. I'll like your comment and that's it. And that's it. Just like have a positive mindset because whatever, some random dude who also does nothing is on the internet or some random person on the internet is saying bad things. I mean, they don't know you, bro. Like, who cares?
And again, we hear so many wonderful, positive things from people who listen to the podcast. That, like, that's fine. We're not going to win over everybody.
Even if we didn't have the positive stuff, I would still be like, who cares? Because who cares? Doesn't matter.
We have a lot of fun. We at no point have pretended to be experts in anything. We're just out here having a good time. We're glad that you're joining us for it. We're glad you're along for the ride. Yes. It's going to be a really cool time. We have some really cool things coming up between now and WrestleMania. So that's very exciting because reminder, the boys are going to WrestleMania. And if you're going to WrestleMania, we have not met, aside from like people we know who listen, we have not met a fan in person. If you are going to WrestleMania and you listen to the podcast, I will bring you stuff. Like I will bring you shit.
We will come to you.
Yeah, we'll find you at the Wells Fargo. Like we'll do that. Awesome. Dog. We're so excited to just meet other wrestling fans, be around a bunch of wrestling for WrestleMania. Lots of cool stuff coming up. You know, my friend in college once got a noise complaint taped to his door of somebody saying that he was because it was during exams or something and his music was too loud or whatever. And he uploaded it to Facebook, just the whole note, just took a photo and uploaded it to Facebook with just the caption, "Haters make me famous." And that's what I like to live by. Excellent. Excellent advice for this week.
So we're gonna post that hate comment on our Instagram page.
Absolutely not. Instead, I'm gonna just continue.
Haters make me famous.
I'm gonna continue to post reels with spelling mistakes. All right. Thank you so much for joining us this week as we talked about Kevin Nash. We're back next week for the Christmas special. We'll talk to you then.
Jingle the fucking halls.